The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
That earlier with mindfulness practice, we ultimately explore opening to everything that's happening in our experience. Whatever's happening in our bodies, body sensations, sights, sounds, smells. What's ever happening in our mind, emotions, thoughts, ideas, beliefs. And it's useful, it seems useful as a meditator to begin to get curious about those patterns or habits that happen a lot for us. So for myself, aversion was one of my strong habits, and it was actually my first meditation object, noticing anger. And I spent quite a bit of time in the first few months of my practice just having some curiosity. What is it like when anger is happening? And so these habits, these patterns of mind can be really useful to explore with mindfulness. We can learn a lot. We can learn a lot about our own habits and patterns. We all have our own flavors of my version of my favorite pattern of aversion and anger. We all have our own flavors of things that happen to us a lot. And then there are some human patterns, some things that happen to all of us. And these are also useful to get curious about, to explore, to begin to understand something around what's happening with these human patterns. One of those human patterns that we really begin to notice as we meditate is that our minds wander. We sit down, we explore the possibility of staying with our experience in the present moment, either with the breath or with just what's happening in the present moment. And our minds wander. We get caught by something or other. There's so much we can learn by being curious about this as opposed to judging ourselves for the fact that it's happening. So this wandering mind, we could call it wandering mind. I'll just call it that for now. Sometimes it feels more like a charge out of the present moment. The mind doesn't wander, it leaps or charges out of the present moment when there's perhaps a thought or a pattern or a memory that arises that has some emotional charge. Often our mind then picks up on that and leaps out of it, starts thinking about it quite quickly. So it sometimes feels like a wander, like the mind just kind of maybe gets a little bit less connected to the present moment, and it kind of drifts out of the present moment. That's another way it can feel when the mind wanders. It can also just be active reflection, thoughts that are coming up about the day. It also can sometimes be the mind can wander. Maybe this happens more as we get more settled in mindfulness practice, more experience in mindfulness practice. Sometimes the mind can wander without words. It wanders, it gets lost into states of mind. For instance, we can get lost into a state of calm and not be aware of it. So what the wandering mind is basically a state of low or non-mindfulness. So mindfulness has disappeared. That's when we say the mind wandered, what we're really saying is that mindfulness disappeared. We usually didn't decide for that to happen. It's not something we said, okay, I'm going to stop being mindful now and think. It just happens. And likewise, there's a moment when we remember, when mindfulness comes back. That's the moment we usually recognize in meditation. we recognize, I have been thinking, or the mind has been lost. And that's often the way we frame it to ourselves. I've been thinking, or I'm not mindful. We might even frame it that way. I'm not mindful. But that moment of recognizing that we haven't been mindful, it is mindfulness in that moment. And so it's really an interesting moment to begin to be curious about. That's what I was pointing to in the instructions before the guided meditation, some curiosity about that moment of mindfulness returning. But the entirety of watching, being curious about the wandering mind, both edges of it, we could call this talk curiosity about the edges of the wandering mind. We can begin to be curious about where mindfulness slips out, and we can begin to be curious about what happens when mindfulness comes back. This exploration begins to also help us to learn and understand something about what's happening when the mind is wandering. So we can't make ourselves, any more than we usually decide to have the mind wander, we don't usually decide for that to happen. We also can't decide to stop the wandering. It just happens. It just re-arises. Sometimes the mindfulness returns kind of behind our backs. Often we do notice. We notice that we have been thinking or in the middle of thinking. Thoughts are still happening when mindfulness returns. But sometimes I've experienced, and this also more as the practice deepened a little bit more. Sometimes I've noticed that the mind can wander and come back. And I'm mindful, I'm with whatever experiences, and there's like, wait a minute, there were some thoughts happening a few moments ago. And so there can be a kind of a wander and come back that we miss entirely. It's like if we're not really clearly mindful, we wouldn't even notice that the mind had wandered, because the mindfulness returned and we were noticing what was happening when the mindfulness returned, and we kind of missed that gap of where the mindfulness was gone, and we only know it kind of after the fact because we remember what had been happening in that gap. So there's a lot we can learn about ourselves through being curious about the wandering mind. We begin to learn about our habits and patterns. This is one of the instructions around thinking often. When we wake up into thinking, we begin to be curious about what are the familiar patterns of thinking that we have. We're less interested perhaps in the details of what we've been thinking about and more about the flavor of the thinking. Is it planning, remembering, judging, fantasizing, arguing? Those kinds of flavors. You know, we can begin to get curious about the habits of mind. We can also begin to see where the mind tends to go when the mind wanders. This we can recognize in the moment that mindfulness returns. So we begin to get familiar with our favorite patterns of mind, our favorite kind of flavors of how our mind tends to get caught, where our minds tend to get caught and lost. Another thing we learn, actually, and we don't think this is good news at first, but it can begin to be something that gets very interesting, is that we see that we don't have ultimate control over our minds. This seeing that we sit down to meditate, we explore the possibility of being present, and without our choice, the mind wanders. We did not do that. And without our control, mindfulness returns. This is actually evidence for the teaching of not self. A lot of times we think about the sense of self as being the one who controls, decides, chooses, aims. And this experience of the mind wandering and returning kind of points out that when we think we might have control, we don't. It's not a mistake. It's not a failing. It's not a failing that the mind wanders when we're meditating. It's the nature of our minds. It's what has been conditioned, our habits and patterns of getting caught by a thought. That has been what has happened. So the mind is wandering, we could say, lawfully. It's wandering based on conditions, based on what we have practiced in the past, where our minds have tended to go. So that the mind wandering, the loss of mindfulness, is something that's dependent on conditions. And the return of mindfulness, also dependent on conditions. The more we practice and cultivate mindfulness, the more we can notice that moment of mindfulness returning. The more we value mindfulness, the more we recognize mindfulness when it comes back. I think one of the main reasons is we're essentially recognizing an essential uncontrollability of the mind if we're not judging ourselves for it. You know, we tend to judge ourselves for the fact that we don't have control over our minds. We judge ourselves for the wandering mind. We think, I should be able to do better. Why can't I do this? That very judgment, that sense of I'm not doing this right, that's in response to the uncontrollability of the mind. And so if we can explore the possibility of noticing, you know, the teaching on anatta, on not self, it's not an obvious teaching in some ways. It's we feel like we're a self, and because of that, you know, we look at our experience through the perspective of me, of who I am, of what I do. And it's a kind of a self-reinforcing experience. We experience a sense of control over certain things. We have a sense of who I am. And we explore experience from that perspective. We don't tend to look for evidence that disconfirms the sense of self. That we could almost call it one of the strongest confirmation biases out there. That we believe there's a sense of self and we look for things that reinforce that belief. The sense of self is actually a view, a belief. And it's a belief of a sense of, often a sense of a stability, of a me, of an I, of who I am, of a sense of one who has control over what's happening. And so we find things that confirm that belief, but we dismiss or don't actually notice or don't recognize that there's many experiences out there that actually point to this understanding of there's not an I, a me, kind of traveling through time. It's just conditions unfolding. And the loss of mindfulness is one of those conditions. The re-arising of mindfulness is one of those conditions. So we can have some curiosity around the loss and return of mindfulness, and you know maybe the recognition of mindfulness has returned could be, oh, seeing not self. Instead of judging, I'm not doing this right. So in terms of noticing the kind of edges of the wandering mind, the easiest place to explore that is when mindfulness returns. It's also possible to begin to explore the slipping out of mindfulness. That comes, I think, with some practice, and I'll talk about a little bit, you know, ways to explore that. But the most of what I want to explore is noticing that moment of remembering, when we remember mindfulness, because there's a lot to see there, too. So the first thing is developing a skillful relationship with it, that moment then when mindfulness returns. It is a moment to celebrate in a way, because in the moments before, we were not connected with mindfulness. And when we're not connected with mindfulness, our habits and patterns tend to be running the show. When mindfulness is arising, we have a little bit more capacity to recognize when skillful things are arising and when unskillful things are arising. And the very exploration of mindfulness helps to support and reinforce the skillful and to weaken the unskillful. There's another really great thing about the moment that mindfulness returns that I found supportive for my practice. Well, first when I began to explore this practice of, can I notice when mindfulness returns? It's like, I just sit down and it'd be like, it didn't matter. It didn't matter if my mind wandered 100 times in a 40-minute sitting. It didn't matter because I was curious about the moment of mindfulness returning. So having that curiosity about that moment helped to diminish the judgment that I had about the mind wandering. So that's one supportive thing about this curiosity about this moment. It also is a pointer to, if we notice it as it arises, we see that moment of mindfulness was effortless. You didn't do it. It arose, and mindfulness is there. So it's effortless. It's a pointer to how light of a touch can happen with mindfulness. So there's that moment of mindfulness returning, recognizing mindfulness returning. We begin to get familiar with the experience of mindfulness there. What's it like to be mindful? It kind of can feel like the light is coming on. What's the difference? In that moment when mindfulness returns, there can be a lingering memory of what it was like before. It's not exactly that we're aware in the moments before. In terms of being mindful, there is a form of awareness there. There's consciousness, there's perception, there's feeling happening in those moments before. But the mindfulness, the awareness that we're aware has returned. And in that moment, there's a lingering memory of what the quality of the mind was like in the moments before and what the quality of the mind is like now. It may feel now like there's a brightness, a clarity, a connection with experience. And in the moments before, feeling almost like a whirl or a swirl or a pulled into a pattern or a kind of almost pulled into a rabbit hole. So in that moment when mindfulness returns, we can get a sense of what it's like to be mindful. We usually cultivate mindfulness through what might be called prompted mindfulness. We cultivate mindfulness by reminding ourselves to be mindful through connecting to the breath, for instance, or connecting to body sensation, knowing what's happening. That's a kind of a prompting of mindfulness. Sometimes we use the noting practice as a kind of a way to connect. We recognize, this is what's happening now. This is what's happening now. And so we are reminding ourselves, essentially, there's a way that we're reminding ourselves to be mindful. So we're prompting mindfulness. There's also what's called unprompted mindfulness, which is this moment of mindfulness returning. We can cultivate mindfulness through recognizing those moments of unprompted mindfulness. The more we notice those moments, and this for daily life, we can begin to get familiar with this moment in sitting meditation and in daily life. It's a great practice for daily life. It happens, this moment when we recognize that we're mindful happens so much during our day. But often we don't notice it consciously. We may notice something and then start thinking about what we've noticed. We often miss that mindfulness has returned. And so this curiosity about what is it like for mindfulness to return can happen in daily life as well. And what I found in daily life is that noticing that moment, as we begin to be able to recognize it, you know, set an intention. Maybe on your mirror that you where you brush your teeth in the morning, put a note that says, "Try to remember to notice the moments of mindfulness returning today." Just as a kind of a prompt, as a kind of a intention that may support you. At first, probably the first day or two, you may recognize it a couple times, maybe once or twice a day. But as you keep practicing this, as you keep being curious about it, so don't give up after a day or two. Keep going. Keep trying. Because the recognition of it helps us to recognize it happening more often. Because it happens way more than we think. So we get familiar with that moment, and then we start to get familiar with that moment more. And what I found is this practice in daily life begins to almost pull a thread of mindfulness through the day that is effortless, because this moment of recognizing mindfulness is effortless. And it has a little bit of momentum to it sometimes. I mean, we notice mindfulness returning, and we can, again, getting familiar with what it's like to be mindful, we can begin to recognize sometimes it lasts a little while. Just, you know, it's like riding a scooter. Sometimes it just goes for a few moments. And then you're off, you know, to something else. You don't have to try to hold on to it in daily life. In sitting practice, I like to encourage, you know, when you've noticed that moment of mindfulness returning, you can then, you know, notice what's happening in that moment. So notice the quality of awareness. Notice what it was like a moment before. Notice the difference. Notice what's happening now. And then if you're doing a kind of a directed practice, seeing if you can explore, you know, allowing the experience that you're focused on, the breath or body, to come into awareness as opposed to directing the attention. Allowing a kind of a receptive quality of orienting. It's more like attunement. It's like a radio receiver. We attune to a particular channel or station and then let that experience come to us. So that there's a little bit of a curiosity about, you know, what has happened in that moment of mindfulness returning before coming back to your primary object. So there's noticing in that moment what awareness is aware of when it returns. So this can be a really useful exploration in terms of beginning to be aware of thinking. Because often when the mind wanders, it wanders into thinking. And so we're noticing that we've returned into thought. And if we have a relationship with that moment of thinking bad, not supposed to be doing that while meditating and coming back to the breath, it can often have an almost a yanking quality, just like yanking back to the breath. In that moment of noticing that the mind has been thinking. I like to do an almost Aikido move. It's give yourself a little bit of exploration of what that mindfulness has arisen with. So mindfulness has arisen with thinking. The main question that I find useful to explore there is, how has this thinking affected my experience now? When the mind wanders, thoughts are so powerful. They shape our experience. They're very strong shapers of what happens in our bodies and minds. And so the mind has wandered and we come back. There's the recognition of mindfulness returning. What's happening now in that moment that mindfulness has returned has been shaped by what had been happening in the moments before. This is cause and effect. So a thought of a partner that we've been arguing with arose in our mind. The memory of the argument arose. The frustration, the anger, the confusion arose. And then mindfulness returns. And what's happening? Frustration, anger, confusion. The mind has been shaped by that. It's not a mistake. It's the nature of conditioning. And so in that moment when mindfulness returns, notice that you're aware again, that first piece of noticing that awareness is back, familiarity with what it's like to be aware, with whatever is arising, those thoughts, those emotions. So how is your experience now having been thinking? Explore that possibility. Sometimes I think of this as the what planet am I on instruction. You know, mindfulness wakes up and it's like, I'm on a new planet. Where am I? You know, it's like, have some curiosity about what the landscape is of where mindfulness has returned. You can explore that. If you're doing a more directed practice, you can explore that for just a few moments, perhaps. Give yourself an opportunity to know what has happened there before turning the attention back to your primary object. If we go right back to the primary object, unwittingly we can be bringing the anger, the confusion, the frustration with us and not really clearly recognizing it. So give yourself a moment to know what's happening. Sometimes we can, in that moment, in the knowing of that, it may be that feeling into that is really what's appropriate in that moment. This is what it's like to have confusion, anger, and seeing how those thoughts are perhaps feeding that, a letting go of the thoughts, feeling into the body and perhaps settling back with body sensations and the breath. But give yourself a few moments, not just come back, yank back. It's kind of more like an arc back to your primary object. You notice what has been happening, what's here now, what's been shaped, what planet are you on? One of the great things about that instruction too, when we've stopped judging ourselves for the wandering mind, sometimes we notice when the mindfulness returns that the mind is more calm than it was before the mind wandered. This happens to me more often than earlier in my practice. I was completely surprised when I started to notice this, that when I returned from the mind wandering, there's actually more settledness. When the mindfulness returned, there was calm, there was ease, there was balance of mind. It happened way more than I thought that was what the experience was when I woke up into mindfulness again. When I was judging myself for not being mindful, that obliterates the calm. You know, you've already made the mind not calm by judging yourself for not being mindful. But when there's not the judgment, when we get to the place where we're not judging ourselves for the wandering mind, you might begin to notice a little more calm, a little more ease, a little more settledness. And then you can be with that. That can be what the breath comes back into, that calm or that ease. So just a few things about the other side of the equation, the where the mindfulness gets lost. What I'd like to encourage is that you be curious about where the mind gets lost. And often at the beginning, this will happen in retrospect. We'll notice kind of as the mindfulness returns, we'll notice the habits and patterns. So we'll notice that first thing we talked about, the flavors of where the mind gets caught, judgment, fantasy, planning, remembering, that kind of flavor. We see the habits and patterns. So we begin to see the certain areas or certain ways that the mind gets caught. We also may notice that, especially in daily life, we might start to notice that our mind gets lost in particular activities. So it could be a little bit of a retrospective, maybe at the end of the day, be curious about where was there mindfulness? Where wasn't there mindfulness? And maybe you notice there are big, like, sinkholes of mindfulness in your day. You walk into your office and mindfulness doesn't return until you're leaving the office or something like that. Or you notice that you're really kind of focused at the desk, and then when you get up, maybe there's a little bit of mindfulness, but then as soon as you start talking to somebody, there's a sinkhole of mindfulness. So having some curiosity about where you lose mindfulness through the day, we can start to be curious about what happens there. We could like try to do the prompted mindfulness through the day in daily life, but I find often trying to do that, people will say, I don't have time to be mindful because we've got other things that we have on our mind. So, you know, trying to remember to prompt mindfulness just adds work to our day, and we basically, you know, we give up. But if you explore it from the perspective of, okay, noticing the moments that mindfulness returns, that's a great one for daily life, but also those moments of, you know, where mindfulness tends to get lost. Maybe you've gotten to the place where you can be fairly mindful while you're driving into work, and then you lose it as soon as you get out of your car. You begin to notice the places where you lose the mindfulness. And so then there can just be some curiosity, not trying to muscle through to be mindful in those moments, but just curious, what happens here? You know, I've arrived, I'm mindful. Let's see if I can notice the moment that the mindfulness begins to get caught by something. What is it that catches the mind? We might begin to notice this. So this is where we can begin to see the weakening of mindfulness and mindfulness starting to get wobbly. As we, you know, recognize what it's like to be mindful, as we recognize that we know that we're mindful while we're getting out of the car, then we can begin to have some sense of the mindfulness starting to get a little weak or wobbly. The beginning, like there's a more or less mindful place. That's a phrase that Joseph Goldstein uses a lot. There's a more or less mindful place. It's a little weaker. It's a place where thoughts tend to come in and grab us and pull us away. And so you might begin to be curious about what happens there. You know, in a situation like that, it might be you're getting out of the car. You start thinking about what you're going to be doing next. It's not like some major, like, childhood pattern that's arising. It's just thinking about the next thing you need to do. And the mindfulness gets weak and then starts going into the habit of not being mindful while thinking about what we need to do. So you can just begin to be curious about some of these areas where mindfulness gets lost. I've got several things to point to here. I have to pick and choose. Another place that can be really interesting to be curious about is beginning to notice when the attention shifts. So this is something we can notice. And in sitting meditation, we actually recognize this. And sometimes we don't like it. We judge ourselves for it, or we judge the things, other things, for having disturbed our meditation. You know, so we're sitting, we're paying attention to our breath, and a motorcycle goes by, and automatically we are hearing the motorcycle. So the attention has shifted. We often don't notice that the attention has shifted, and we actually are aware for a moment about the motorcycle before we perhaps jump on that thought about the motorcycle and start judging the person who's riding the motorcycle or berating the sound for having disturbed our meditation. Before that happens, there's the moment of the attention has shifted and there was the noticing of the sound. So that noticing the shift of attention can be a really interesting exploration. So in sitting meditation, we often notice this through a shift to sound. Or if we're paying attention to the breath, we might notice a shift to a body sensation that feels uncomfortable, or a shift to a thought that has arisen. So we can begin to be curious about this shift of attention. We can know it. It's not something that is outside of the range of what can be recognized. So we can recognize this shift of attention. I would say that in terms of the mind wandering, not noticing that the attention has shifted is probably the primary reason why the mind wanders. We don't notice that the attention has shifted to a thought. We don't notice that the attention has shifted to a sound, or we notice briefly that the attention has shifted to a sound and then don't notice that we've leaped on the sound and started thinking about it. So if we can be curious about the shift of attention, that's a really interesting place to begin to notice where the mind may tend to get caught. And if we can notice the shift of attention, the mind may not wander, because we've noticed it. If we can be curious about what it has shifted to, there's another object that we can know. There's no object, no experience in our bodies and minds that we cannot be mindful of. There are mostly experiences in body and mind that we have a habit of not being mindful in. But it doesn't mean that they are inherently non-mindful. And so this is a beginning exploration around that curiosity of where does the attention shift? And when we notice the shift of attention, perhaps we can then be aware of what that experience is. Now, the shift of attention can happen in different ways. You know, it can happen from one very specific object to another very specific object, like from the breath to a sound. But it also can happen from a more specific object, like the breath, to a more expansive object, like calm. So as the mind settles in meditation, sometimes we lose mindfulness when the attention shifts from attending directly to the sensations of the breath, for instance, to attending to the state of the mind, attending to the quality of ease or settledness. And so that can be a place where the mind wanders too. Again, not into thought necessarily, but into that state. We can lose awareness because the mind is not clearly recognizing that the attention has shifted. And in this case, shifted to a different kind of object entirely. We're familiar so much with the specific kinds of objects, the sensations, the sounds, the specific, you know, things that are, you know, we can really kind of put our finger on or kind of touch. We can recognize those experiences. But these more broad or diffuse experiences often are ones that we're not so familiar with. And that's another place where the mind tends to wander. When the mind experiences something it's not familiar with, the mind tends to wander. And so if we can be curious about an experience, a practice that I've explored is just noticing, it's like something's happening that I'm unfamiliar with. I don't have a name for it. I can't even describe it. So maybe I can know that it's not clear. That's what's clear. It's not clear. Okay, that's what I can know. That kind of recognition of the experience is not clear can help us to hang out with it long enough potentially to begin to learn something about it, to begin to recognize its quality, its shape, its flavor. So mostly what I hope to do in this is to encourage curiosity, this exploration around the wandering mind is really an exploration of what the mind does. It's not exactly some of what I've described, some of the explorations I've described are not so much something you do, like the noticing the moment that mindfulness returns. It's more of a recognition. We can set the intention to do that, to recognize that moment. But it won't be something that you can consciously say, okay, right now I'm going to notice mindfulness returning, because if we're doing that, mindfulness is already back. So it's something that begins to be revealed to us. It's more of a a recognition of what's happening, that moment of mindfulness returning, or even seeing the shift of attention. Again, these are things that happen in our mind that can be seen. We can have the curiosity about experience. Even having it described like this can support the possibility of seeing something that you might not have thought was important or useful even. So mostly I hope to encourage curiosity. Watch your minds. So thank you for your attention.